We have now reached the last chapter of this wonderful book of 1 Corinthians. The 16th chapter sort of gathers up all of the things that are still to be said and ends with some wonderful salutations and proofs of the love of God and of the love of believers for each other. It begins with the word now, and this is a common division indicator in the book of 1 Corinthians. He evidently is taking up something that they had asked him about, as he has in several other cases. Now concerning the collection for the saints. While this is a new subject, it is predicated upon what has already been said in the last verse of chapter 15, where he told us, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And so now he tells us concerning the collection for the saints. The taking up of an offering is a scriptural thing. It was done in the Old Testament under the Jewish economy by means of tithing. Tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Rather, stewardship is the order of the New Testament. We own nothing, but we are the stewards of all that God has put into our hands. Now he says, "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." He wants them to do this consistently. All believers are expected to do what he says in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, the Lord's day, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, believers only, lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Let there be no gatherings when I come. It is not God's order to put on a drive to raise money for some servant of God or for some Christian purpose. This is to be done by a weekly laying aside out of our income what we are led to give to God. Now, this is very wonderful. If you see that God has given you something to use for him, you will be glad to use it as the Lord has taught in this scriptural way. Now notice that this is not something that he enforces upon them. It's not a tax. Any church which sends out notices that you owe so much to the church is totally out of their position. God wants you, between you and the Lord, as a believer, to give to God what you believe God wants you to lay aside for his work. In this particular case, it was specially for the poor saints at Jerusalem. They were having a kind of a famine there, and so they were to look out for the needs of fellow Christians. And in the New Testament, giving is always for the poor first. We would not have all of this problem of poverty today if Christians were exercised about sharing with the poor as God intended. Then there was also the giving for the purpose of spreading the gospel and giving to the support of those who taught them. And so the Lord tells them to do this on the first day of the week. Now, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he told them that they were to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Strangely enough, there are churches and ministers who do not believe in taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Now, this is something which is for God only. The Lord's Supper is not for us. We get no benefit from it, whatever. It is something for the Lord. It is an act of worship to him. It is a means of expressing our love to him. They don't see the need for doing this regularly, but they want to take up collections at every meeting. There's something inconsistent about this, something that benefits themselves. They want to do it more often than the Bible teaches. Something which benefits the Lord, they want to do it less often. This seems to me to be selfishness. Now in verses 3 and 4, he tells about appointing deacons for the purpose of administering these funds. Now elders are never chosen by the congregation. The sheep does not choose its shepherds. Shepherds are appointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lays it upon the hearts of men to do this work. They are called of the Lord. This is told to us in the 20th chapter of the book of the Acts. But in the early part of Acts, in chapter 6, he tells us that they were to choose 7 men to administer the funds. And here he says, "Whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, Then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So the church is to choose deacons to do the service for the Lord that has to do with temporal matters. Deacons may also serve in other ways, but usually their service is in matters that have to do with everyday things, while the elders have to do with spiritual things, the preaching of the word and so on. Now, Paul speaks about his plans in verses 5 to 8, but they were subject entirely to the Lord's guidance. He says at the end of verse 7, if the Lord permit. Now, while he didn't always say this, he always felt it. And James tells us that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. So he says, I plan to pass through Macedonia to come to see you. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 1, this did not happen exactly that way. And Paul knew that it might not. He was willing to be subject to the Lord's guidance. Not only so, but he expected that when he passed through Corinth, and perhaps even spend the winter with them, that they would bring him on his journey. That is, they would help him financially to get on to the next place. And this is God's order. It's not that we are to charge so much for so much preaching, but anyone who ministers the word, teaches the word of God, preaches the gospel, should expect that God's people will see that he has what he needs to move on to the next place. Now, he says he's going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, not because of the Jewish feast, but because a great door and effectual is opened unto me, verse 9 says. A great door tells of the scope of the opportunities that he had, and effectual means that when he went in to preach the gospel, God blessed the gospel, and it was effectual. But this was accompanied by many adversaries. Now, you know the story of Paul's preaching in Corinth, I mean at Ephesus. He tells us in the book of the Acts that this is the place where they were so furious because he was spoiling their business connected with the worship of the false idol, Diana. They were so disturbed over this that they would have killed him. And Paul refers earlier in the 15th chapter to fighting with the wild beasts at Ephesus. Now, whether these were actually beasts in an arena or human beings that were acting like beasts, anyway, he had many adversaries. It's the same today. If you're God's child and you have an opportunity to do something for him, expect adversaries to go along with this open door. And don't be disturbed about it. The Lord said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world, and we shall too. Now he commends Timothy. There are several commendations here. First of all, he talks about his fellow workers, Timothy and Apollos. Timothy was young. 8 years later, he refers to him as being very young. And so he says he's coming, and he works the work of the Lord as I do also. So don't despise him. Conduct him forth in peace. He evidently was a timid young man, and he didn't want his feelings hurt. He said, look out for him and bless him. Help him. Then he says, our brother Apollos, I wanted him to come to you, but this was not at all his will at this time. You see, the Apostle Paul did not claim that he had authority to order people around, as ecclesiastical dignitaries seem to do today. That was not God's order at all. Each man is responsible directly to the Lord himself and does not take his orders from any higher up in the hierarchy of the organization. What has developed today is totally foreign to the Bible pattern. And so he said he will come when he has a convenient time. Now we have some exhortations in verses 13 and 14. The four in verse 13 are really military-like in tone. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. This is the way God wants us as Christians to live. And these are all in the present continuous tense. This is something we need to do daily. Turn away from things that are wrong. Be strong in the word of the Lord. Be useful, helpful Christians. And then let all your things be done in love. Whatever you do, do it because you love the Lord and because you love his people. Now, in verse 22, he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema or accursed, for the Lord is coming. Maranatha means the Lord is coming. If you do not love the Lord Jesus, you do not know him. We love him because he first loved us, John wrote. But then there is not only love for the Lord, there is love for one another. So whatever you do, do it in love for one another. You know there were divisions at Corinth. The people of God were not going on as well as they ought. That's why this epistle was written, one of the reasons. So he says, I love you, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. That's the closing verse. You all, regardless of their condition, regardless of their spirituality or lack of it, regardless of whether they loved him or not, my love be with you all. So he's asking that this be done among themselves. And he points out a couple of local cases, Stephanus and some of the other Christians that were with him. And he said, honor these Christians, love them, and help them in every way that you can. Then he speaks of how thankful he was that three of the brethren had come from there to supply their lack. Now, this may have been their fellowship, and it may have also been the money that they brought with them. And so he sends greetings to them from the churches in Asia, and especially from Aquila and Priscilla, and asks them that they greet one another with a holy kiss to show their affection for each other. How wonderful it is to belong to the Lord. How wonderful it is to be a part of his family. Do you love him? Do you love his people? Our Father, we ask you to bless this word to us. We thank you for this study. Thank you for this first epistle to the Corinthians. We pray, Lord, that it may be a blessing to all who have heard it. Save the lost and help thy dear children to go on for thee. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.